you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Hey everyone, welcome into Dubstock. I'm Grant Lifman and I'm joined by Drew Schiller. And as always, Dubstock is brought to you by Wendy's. Any time of day is a Baconator time. Baconate in the AM with Wendy's Breakfast Baconator. Try it for free with any in-app purchase. And always be baconating at participating U.S. Wendy's. Drew, always be baconating.
Yeah, but where's my food?
You're still not getting any.
I said I'd come back on if I got some bacon. Correct. Baconating.
Good news is we're going to kick you off in a second here because Sarah Spain of ESPN joins very shortly. And I'm telling you, you know, I just talked to her. We're going to put it right after you. And she's the best. She's better than you. That's all I'm saying, Drew.
Well, yeah, she's the headliner and I'm the opening act. Intro? Yeah. What is it? What's the expression? Concerts?
You
stand up? Oh, okay.
You literally just did it. That was the expression. Yeah.
Nice.
Okay. The Golden State Warriors are 6-4, Drew. They just had two opposite wins where like they played horribly and then played incredibly and then had one where they played great and then didn't play well. So that's good. The one constant was defense that helped them win both games. That was the constant. But otherwise, hey, 6-4, a win is a win is a win is a win.
Well, and in the win over the Clippers, Steph Curry was unbelievable. Mm-hmm. And then against the Raptors, Steph Curry has one of the worst games of his career. I mean, that's just a scientific fact.
Yes.
He was 2-for-16 from the field. He was 1-for-10 from three. He turned the ball over 5 times. Now, of course, he still impacts the game and helps the Warriors win by just being on the floor. He was +7. So clearly he's doing something right. We showed a clip on our show about the gravity that he possesses, and Andrew Wiggins got that wide open dunk. But that's the best sign that the Warriors were able to beat a good team. Don't let that Raptors record fool you. That is still a good basketball team, despite the fact that Steph was not good. Yep. And I mean, if you would have told me before the game that he was going to go 2-for-16, 5 turnovers, I would have said, oh, that's a loss.
Yeah, I would have said that. And Kelly Oubre stays in his pretty much in his slump. He was okay. Yeah, I would say they lose by 30, but nope, they won. And defensively, if we're going to talk about a constant, Andrew Wiggins has become their premier wing defender. And he's really been up to the task. Before the season, we're like, could he be that guy? That's what they're hoping for. And he's taken the challenge and he's been fantastic. He has, I mean, I hesitate from saying lock down Kawhi Leonard for the Clippers because you can't really lock down anybody in the league. That's not how it works. But he made times tough for, he made shots tough for Kawhi Leonard and did the same. And he was the guy that was on defense against Pascal Siakam to end the game against the Raptors. Sure, it wasn't like this special defensive performance against Siakam in that last play, but he was there, disrupted, stayed down, didn't foul, did what he needed to do, and the Warriors are very comfortable putting him on that top guy.
Wiggins tied his career high, 4 blocks against the Raptors, and it wasn't just the blocks. He was being physical on the block. He was nudging Siakam away from the basket, forcing the pass out to the perimeter. His blocks also were not like cheapos. They were at the rim. They prevented points. I mean, they sent messages to the Raptors like, whoa, Andrew Wiggins, rim protection, he's here. And you felt his presence for sure. I mean, everyone within the organization just can't speak higher of Wiggins right now. I mean, Steve Kerr said he's basically the key to our roster construction. And this is something that the Warriors have been saying for a long time. Obviously, they're trying to build up Andrew Wiggins and his confidence. And it's working because after the win against the Raptors, when Wiggins was talking to Fitz and Kalena. He was just saying how much fun he's having and how he's out there to try to change the narrative surrounding his career. And those are the, we talked about this on the show, even though Andrew Wiggins is a pretty mellow guy and, you know, doesn't say a lot of inflammatory things, I did like to hear him say that because it shows that he understands what's going on in the context around him and wants to get rid of that. And he wants to be a part of a winning team. And so far he is helping the Warriors win games. I mean, he's been awesome.
Yeah, no, he really has. And it's funny. He also said in the postgame presser, he said the same stuff. He said, I've never been happier. He did say that. And he just says he's, you know, the culture, but you can see him relishing this defense, right?
Yeah.
And it's actually easier to make a guy stay consistent in doing their job when they get credit for what they're doing. Cause it's now he's like, well, I have a new reputation I'm building. I got to stick with it. Right. You can't take nights off. And because he's like, oh, they already know I'm a good defender. Now I can take nights off. No, I think he's a guy that's going to be like, oh man, they're starting to notice. Watch this. And so Warriors fans, it's been such a weird development. You know, the NBA was so down on Andrew Wiggins, NBA fans, right? And he comes to the Warriors. Warriors fans get excited. First game, everyone goes, well, never mind. That was that's the end of Andrew Wiggins. And we just realized who he was and it'll never change. But really the progression, Drew, he is absolutely becoming a fan favorite. And it's because of his consistent effort. And that is something that troubled him in the past.
I mean, you don't have to say that like somewhat confusingly. I think that was for sure the case with Wiggins. And we're obviously focusing on the defense with him, but over his last eight games, he's 43% from three.
Oh yeah. That's one thing.
And that number it almost should be higher because he made his first three threes against Toronto and then missed seven in a row and had some good looks. So he's doing it on both ends of the floor. And, if you throw out those first two games against the Nets and the Bucks, he has the monster fourth quarter in Detroit, and then Draymond Green comes back. He settles more into a role, and the key is for him to just keep doing this. Just don't let up, and really try to rack up some wins here early on and build even more credit with the fan base. And so far, 2020, 2021. I'm enjoying watching Andrew Wiggins play basketball. It's great stuff.
What for the Warriors, by the way.
For the Warriors, in a Warriors uniform.
That caveat. If you just look at it, Drew, quickly, 6-4. You can't eliminate the first two games because that actually it still counts, right? There's still two losses, whatever. But if we just for a second, hypothetically, remove those games, I would say majority of the roster is playing really good basketball. Each individually, and now they're starting to get it as a unit, as the chemistry is still starting to build, and that's why the team is starting to succeed. But I'm saying top to bottom, you know, Draymond Green is playing elite defense, helping this team. He's definitely one of the main reasons this team kind of rebounded to who they are now. Steph Curry is playing MVP type levels despite having a terrible game. Andrew Wiggins is playing really well. Kelly Oubre, obviously the piece that's not doing well. It's just a fact. But yeah, and James Wiseman started hot. He has this in and out of things, but Drew, the bench, like Bazemore, Pascal, Damian Lee, Brad Wanamaker, these guys are playing really good basketball. In fact, I mean, you can't ask for more from them. Like that, they are doing the most they can do right now.
Yeah, the only thing that comes to mind in terms that's disappointing, I guess you could say, is against the Raptors. The Warriors had a 15-point lead to start the fourth quarter, and that unit, which was great in the second quarter, really struggled, and the Raptors were able to cut it all the way down to five before Steve Kerr had to get Steph Curry back in the game. And then, I mean, the Raptors did lead by four with 3 minutes to go, and then Steph makes his one three-pointer, and it was a big one because it cut it to one. But in terms of the bench, I mean, Damian Lee wins the game in Chicago, knocks down the game-winning free throws against Toronto. His plus-minus is still best on the Warriors. It was going into the Raptors game.
His net rating is up there. I think his plus-minus is still best, but I have to go double-check.
And Steve Kerr said after the win that they're going to have Damian Lee on the floor in crunch time frequently based on certain lineups and certain matchups. And the Raptors, they were going small the whole game. And so it was perfect for Damian. He's just smart. He knows what to do. He's a very underrated rebounder. He has been everything and more that the Warriors could have ever hoped for. And oh yeah, by the way, his contract is not even fully guaranteed for the entire season. It blows my mind. Kent Bazemore's on a minimum deal. He is straight balling, had three blocks against Toronto. Yes, the bench is, I mean, this is what the Warriors, they needed to revamp the bench during the offseason. Yep. They did that. Everyone is playing their role. And if they can just somehow beat Indiana on Tuesday and be 7-4. I mean, it would just be, it would, the 180 like shift, I know. Just nuts.
Right now they're tied for the fourth best record in the NBA. Not in the NBA, in the West. So yeah, if they go 7-4, again, this gauntlet is not even close to being done. They face, we got Indiana, Denver, Phoenix, Lakers. And then the soft part are two teams that are worse, but also playing great, great basketball in the Spurs and the Knicks. And it just keeps on going, going, going. But you know what? Focus on the right now. And right now, we're about to go to Sarah Spain of ESPN. Drew, I thank you for joining us. Now, I will send you Wendy's or something like that. But after this break, Sarah Spain.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome back to the Dubs Talk podcast presented by Wendy's. Grant Lifman here as always, and I have a very, very special guest and ESPN talent that is also on ESPN Radio. You can hear her on That's What She Said podcast. Pretty much you can just find her everywhere that you want to find her on sports. Sarah Spain, thank you so much for joining.
Yeah, and perhaps some places that they don't want to find me. You never know. It's thanks for having me.
Yeah, I had you on my show, Warriors Outsiders podcast, like a year and a half ago. And at that time, I don't know if you remember this, it was just around the NBA Finals. And I was telling you that there was about to be a media basketball game.
Yes.
Everyone was going to play. Yeah. And I don't know if you know this, but my team won.
I think I recall that. Yes. I remember being quite jealous that that was going down. It looked like a lot of fun.
It was fun. It was. I just needed to remind people I actually won something in my life. Okay.
What percentage of the winning do you think you can attribute directly to your skill set?
Skill set, zero. But I would say my emotional leadership on the court.
Good, good.
Passion. Good. I bring to the game.
Perfect.
I actually showed
up. You brought two functioning hamstrings too, which is probably better than most of the people.
It's funny you say that because I was dehydrated when I showed up. No joke. I came from this.
So long, hungover.
Yeah, exactly. I came from this long shoot. It was like 110 degrees. I drive up there. I rush in. I don't have time to warm up. And the first play, I think it was Chris Haynes, like drives on me and my legs just gave out. Like all, I just collapsed on the floor. So yeah, no, that was really athletic. Anyway. So you are based out of Chicago. You grew up for the most part in Chicago. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
So you may know a thing or two about the Chicago Bulls. So we got to get these questions out of the way because it's important. Anytime you're on a Warriors thing, you have to talk about the Jordan era Bulls.
Yes.
And okay. So we're going to try to do unique questions. So I don't have to put you against so tell me who would win in a series, the 90s.
Right.
MJ, what he did for Chicago and the exuberance and the passion the team felt or the city felt for MJ. Could you see that as a parallel between what Steph Curry has done for the Bay Area and, I mean, kind of basketball nationally and internationally as well?
Yeah, I think the biggest difference is the timing of when it's all happening. So one of the reasons that Jordan became more than just the greatest basketball player or even the most well-known athlete was his peak came right around the same time as globalization of cable. So it's a very weird thing that you might not connect, but I actually wrote a paper about this in college. Cause that was how I made it through academia. It's like, let me see how often I could talk about Michael Jordan. But it made sense. And there was a great book, actually, I want to say it was Halberstam's Playing for Keeps, that got into sort of this thing where it wasn't just that Michael Jordan was a huge star in the US, but the ability for people in other countries to watch and to become a fan. And so because of that, he becomes sort of one of the first, not the only, but one of the first to be a true global icon of sport and to be the face of a product where they believed that one person would sell it and not a team, right? It wasn't everyone on this team wears Converse. It was Michael Jordan wears his own shoe and now you're going to want it. And we've seen how that's changed the whole landscape. So as much as Steph rebuilt that franchise and that market and even changed the game and how it's played and how we see it. I mean, it's sort of difficult to think that it wasn't that many years ago that people were still saying that the Warriors either ruined basketball or there was no way they could succeed the way they play. And now we look at it, but I do think it's just, it's the equivalent of trying to debate the LeBron versus Jordan. Like if you're the second being compared to the first, it's a lot tougher for people to see you as this like isolated pivot point as it is for the first one. And so I do think Steph and the Warriors did a ton to change the game and to elevate a ton of things, but I don't know that timing of Jordan can be competed with, also because of the scarcity of entertainment options, right? Like I mean there's YouTube stars that have millions more followers than any of the celebrities that I've heard of, and I've never heard of them and I never will because I've already passed the peak of like sitting on YouTube and watching someone like give me a makeup tutorial or play a video game.
I'm out of it too. It's like, yeah, I've already been passed in that time. So
but that's the other thing, there was like this dedicated attention from the country and the world on one thing that even the Super Bowl might have trouble keeping up with at this point.
Yeah. No, I mean, it was like the NBA on NBC. That was like your big moment. Mm-hmm. You sat down to watch Michael Jordan play. And completely. I think obviously it's so hard to sometimes compare eras too with social media. As you're saying, it's like a different beast. So even more people that weren't have access to watching sports can watch it now. So probably a lot of people that weren't able to watch Jordan at that time can watch it now. But that also came during the LeBron era as well. So, but it is funny. You mentioned the LeBron versus Jordan thing. For some reason, people have difficulty like admiring and respecting both players, right? You can't love Jordan and think he's the best, but also say LeBron might be just as good or something. You can't say that officially, but it's migrated into you can't like LeBron and Steph Curry at the same time. It feels like a conversation that, well, Steph had all that help, so he's not that good.
Right.
LeBron's better because he didn't. And it's like, why does it have to be an either or? Why is it mutually exclusive?
I feel like that maybe a social media thing, though.
That's what I actually wanted to ask you. I feel
like there are probably some more level-headed basketball fans who can appreciate all of them. It's just when you try to set up the either or on the at SportsCenter handle, right? Where then it becomes, I need to express to you why my opinion is best by trashing the other one. Even if we were just sitting around having a beer and I said, wasn't that play great by LeBron? You'd be like, yeah, he's sick, dude. But instead it's like, nope, I've decided that you're wrong and I'm right. And here's all the reasons. And I'm going to like torture your whole family on the way to explaining them in an unrelated, you know, attack.
Exactly.
I will say, and I was talking about this on a show the other day. I obviously grew up in Chicago area, huge Chicago sports fan. Even when I lived in LA for 6 years or so, I would wear all my Chicago gear and I would like be ready to step up and talk smack. And then I moved back to Chicago and I was doing all local work. And then my occasional national stuff for ESPN was usually when they would have me on to tell everybody what the city was feeling around a big playoff game for one of our teams. And then within the last, I think 5 or 6 years now, I'm only national. I do all my radios national, my podcasts, my TV stuff. And so it's made me so much less of a homer and so much nicer to other teams and players. Like I've lost my edge, man. I'm soft because I have to talk to them and interview them. And I'm like, actually, what a nice guy. Like I was at a wedding and hung out with Matt Stafford. And I'm like, damn it. Now I can't call him Sack Matford anymore. He's really nice. And you know, Aaron Rodgers is my favorite player, which is embarrassing as a Chicago Bears fan, but it's true. The Milwaukee Bucks are 100% my side piece because for the longest stretch, the Bulls should have been relegated to the G League until they earned their way back to the NBA. It looks like they're on their way now. But at the time I was like, why am I going to waste my time watching the Bulls? They're trash. Give me the Bucks. You know, sorry, sweetie. I got a work meeting. It's going late. It's me watching Giannis. But yeah, I mean, I just think that those conversations where it's either or, it's usually either basically civic pride, where you're in the Bay Area, so you're going to hear people trash anyone that doesn't think Steph is the best. I'm in Chicago, so the locals are going to do that. But most people are somewhere in the middle. And I do think that LeBron, the longer he's been great, the harder it's been to kind of disparage compliments for him, especially great as a person too.
Right.
Like when he started out and I was like, okay, you're just trying to be Michael. Like, stop that. Like same with Kobe. That always bothered me about Kobe. I'm like, I'm listening to sound clips and I can't tell the difference between the two of them. Like, stop trying to be Mike.
Right.
And I was so defensive of Jordan's legacy. And now I'm like, I don't really care what you guys think. Like, there's plenty of statistics that would tell you that Jordan was do or die, never going to lose. His team never got down by a ton. They never went to a game seven. He never lost a final. He was always the best player on his own team. Like, give me all that stuff. And then you're like, okay, but he didn't play for as long or as consistently. And are we really holding it against LeBron that he made all those finals and didn't win them? He made more of them, right? Like, right. So like, it's all like, which set of statistics do you want to use? And instead I'm just like, they're both awesome.
Yeah.
Can no, we just do that? Like
that's it should be, and I feel like also
that's why I'm never gonna make Skip Bayless money. It's I'm never gonna make it.
You need a hot take. You have to say someone's trash. If you don't say someone's
gotta be. I have not thrown a single jersey in a garbage can and lit it on fire for YouTube clicks in my entire career. It's a real missed opportunity.
You're really missing out. Yeah, no, I mean, if you had done that, you definitely wouldn't be on this pod because you'd be much bigger. No, I'm
that's
just
true. That's true. I wouldn't have time for you.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you for this for the little people. But it is. I think it is a social media creation. I do. I also think with TV nowadays, it's sexier to pit people together, and people enjoy doing that. I'm not this guy that says everyone just be friends and happy and everyone love each other. You can criticize, right? You can criticize without being mean. You can do things, but it is funny. I think. The hypocrisy, this is going to blow you away. In America, there is hypocrisy.
What?
Yeah. No, I
don't burst my bubble. I thought we were doing great.
No. So Trump.
We're not doing great.
I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
No, oh, boy.
I'm not doing that. Cancel the plot. No. Yeah. So if you look at just the way people, if you diminish one person, you're also diminishing the other. Like if you say Steph's not that good, well, Steph beat LeBron 3 times.
Right
in the finals, then it's like, well, is LeBron that good? This guy,
right?
Just say, wow, that guy's incredible. He revolutionized the game. He was so good that he was able to be on a team that beat LeBron James.
Right.
That's it.
I mean, and those at least are concurrent. I think the biggest issue for me and the reason why I won't make those big bucks is that I hate just hacky sports radio talk where there's so much of a suspension of disbelief. Otherwise the conversation can't happen. So it's like, okay, you want the 85 Bears defense to play a current offense. Well, which rules are we using? And does one get steroids and which one gets ice baths and foam rollers and trainers and, you know, all the other stuff. And then the same goes for basketball. Like, and everybody says, okay, well, like, you know, but that doesn't really matter. It does matter if the rules are the way they used to be. It does matter if the game is different. Cause if you're going to point out that Jordan didn't really shoot the three, do you think Jordan would shoot a lot of threes if he played in today's NBA? He would probably be the best 3-point shooter.
He would just stick to exactly what he did.
Exactly.
In the past.
Right.
He would never change. Come on. So Sarah, you know,
right. And that's why I'm like, if you guys want to debate it at the bar over some beers and come to zero conclusion based on anything, go at it. But like, that's not really fun for me when like, and anybody who's ever done a show with me, they'll like, they can feel the steam coming when like someone comes in for the day and they're like, what about like the Mount Rushmore? And I'm like, no. And I don't know. It just isn't that fun for me. If you first start by, and I think this, I come from a family of lawyers. I think it's because just logic. I'm like, well, what's the point of having that conversation then if you started out with, well, this could never happen and let's forget about whether the rules are different. Like, then what are we actually doing here?
How do you come to a conclusion?
Yeah.
What is the conclusion that this would happen? Because we just started that way.
I think the exercise is supposed to, I think the journey is supposed to be the friends that we made along the way. Exactly. And I'm not into that. I'm winning, losing, decision made. Like, that's how I operate.
You will not be friends. That, like,
yeah, the friends we lost along the way is probably what we should,
At least you get to separate your friends and, people and your enemies. No, I do agree. Hypothetical trades kill me too, because it's just, and then also looking back and be like, they should have drafted this guy. Well, that would that guy, sure, that's true, but would it all have panned out the same way? Right. If hypotheticals are funny,
there's a time for that. And then it's, and then when it's years after your team didn't draft Patrick Mahomes, Christian McCaffrey, or Deshaun Watson, maybe it's time to just stop bringing it up every single second, because we already know.
By the way, the 49ers didn't take Aaron Rodgers, they took Alex Smith. Okay. Oh, so, God,
hurts. Hurts.
Let's go back to comparing people. And is Klay Thompson Steph Curry's Scottie Pippen?
Wilt Chamberlain. Yeah, exactly. Man, I feel so bad for Klay. How are you guys handling that over there? Like, he just seems like, I haven't heard a bad word about that guy. So for him to be the one going through this again is just trash.
Yeah, it was like, I guess, I mean, 2020 was full of gut punches already. So like every day you'd wake up and be like, ooh, how am I going to feel miserable today? And that was one of those that there was like an excitement brewing in the Bay Area of like, oh, they get a draft pick so high. Here's the future. And then, hey, let's just ruin everyone's favorite player, which nationally, and I want to hear your opinion about this, nationally, Klay Thompson, do you believe one of the most revered and like liked players in the NBA?
Yeah, he seems super beloved and liked. I don't know that he gets enough credit for how great he is, because the key to the success for that Warriors team was always about selflessness and playing your role. And that's not how a lot of players operate. And that's not how a lot of the world operates right now. It's like, get yours and build up your brand and accentuate and make sure everybody like respects that you're the key to everything. And the fact that Steph was willing to step back as much as he did when KD came in and figure out where he needed to be and what he needed to do was like a perfect example of why that team works. And so with Klay, I think he is super beloved and people do consider him probably one of the greatest shooters of all time, but I don't know that he gets as much credit as he would if that team had not sort of been built around the prospect of, like, you know, making sure you got it, got everybody involved and everybody played their role.
Right. He's not a guy. Trying to leave to be like, I need to be the top scorer on a team.
Right.
He was happy to be doing what he's doing. And also, apparently people use Steph welcoming superstars onto his team as a detractor against him.
Right, exactly. Instead of the old Derrick Rose.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not recruiting anyone. Well, then it worked because no one came.
How did it go?
how did that go? I think Klay too is like sort of like, he's a little bit of a mystery as like a person.
Yeah, he's an enigma.
You know, so like there's not a lot to cling to as far as like, who is he beyond a robotic pure shooter? So people really like him. And then they're like, yeah, but it's just Klay. Klay.
It's just, you know, he could do anything and it's just being Klay.
Right.
There's
exactly.
Certain people, like if you know, there's certain athletes, you know, James Harden gets criticized for going to strip clubs and this and that, but Klay posts a picture on a yacht with like 14 Instagram models. And it's like, huh, did you see what Klay just did?
What a nice day in the sun.
Yeah.
That looks like a nice boat ride.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. What a happy guy.
And then there's Draymond. Draymond's like walking down the street and you're like, I guarantee you he just kicked someone in the nuts like right before this photo.
Actually, thank you. Nice segue.
I'll
add this into my notes. Yeah. Draymond Green, also the most beloved player in the nation. Everyone just loves him. People just really appreciate him. Okay. So in terms of Draymond, Bay Area fans love him. Right. And there's been moments where they also are combative as well. But the Warriors fans adore Draymond Green. From a perspective of someone that isn't a Warriors fan, someone who watches the NBA, someone who has cheered for teams that played against Draymond Green as well. Have you found over time that your appreciation for him has grown, or how has that gone?
I've actually always liked Draymond, and it's tough to put into words. And my co-hosts are often confused because I'm like, it's just vibes, man. Like, I know that he does some bad stuff with other people's genitals, and I know that he's not always a guy that is handling himself perfectly. But for whatever reason, because I am a lunatic competitive human being to the point of embarrassment at times where I have to step back and be like, so sorry, guys. I know we're just playing darts, or I know this is a friendly family soccer game and I just took out a four-year-old, but I am much more likely to like somebody who's a little bit too into it wants it too bad, gets caught up in the moment, than I am somebody who doesn't try or who doesn't seem like they care enough. So like you use James Harden. I'm not a big James Harden fan. He's a tremendous player. Everyone says how much he loves basketball. I think he loves the game. I don't think he cares that much about winning, because if he did, I think his habits would be different. The way he respects his teammates would be different. The way he doesn't forget how to basketball in elimination games, as if he's just kind of out of it and not focused, wouldn't be that. So like excuses for guys like that, who I don't think are being professional in the way they approach this thing that's their legacy forever and the thing that they devote their time and everybody else's time to, that bothers me a lot more than someone like Draymond, who gets a little hot-headed. But also I may have some blind spots. I may have intentionally forgotten some things, but as far as I remember, Draymond isn't known for like being dirty in a way of like tripping dudes or right. like cheating the game, or like I do care a lot about the integrity of like you've all agreed to be on this space together where you're likely to be injured for unintentional reasons, but you can't be injured for intentional ones. Someone can't take this space that you've all agreed to be in and injure you because they've gone outside the realm of the game, like the Ndamukong Suh face stomping stuff. That's going to sit with me forever. Like that's never going to be okay with me, even if right. it's a temper and you care a lot about the game and you lost yourself. Like there's a line there. But Draymond's not like that. He's just kind of that guy that you hate when he's on the other team and you love he's on yours. And for whatever reason, I've always been like, I'm cool with them. Also, like I know someone who works for the Warriors, and she said that surprisingly, Draymond's like a super open-minded dude about LGBTQ rights and women. And like, he's not what you'd expect from the guy who's getting teed up and causing problems.
Yeah. And I think a lot of that, what you said, the on-court stuff, if off the court, they're a bad person, it's kind of, you those antics on the court aren't as cute anymore. You know what right. I mean? I'm a person that a lot of people hate Patrick Beverley. I actually think
Pat Bev, Chicago in the house.
I actually love him. Really like Pat Bev. Now there like are moments. Scrappy. There are moments where it's like, Pat, come on. But yeah. I actually really appreciate it. If he was on my team, I would absolutely love the guy to death.
Yeah,
and that's kind of the way I view Draymond. I think a lot of it, people get caught up in looking at his antics or passion and forgetting how good of a basketball player he actually is. Like how good you look at his playoff numbers, and they're all time great. Right. And the things he does. So it is funny to, you know, Draymond going to people think of him as that brash personality. And you're right. Off the court, he isn't that person. Right.
Well, and there's some really fascinating examples of that in sport. And I remember there's this guy, Daniel Carcillo, hockey player, and I hated him on other teams. And he did do some really bad stuff that was dangerous to opponents. And he came to the Blackhawks and I was like, man, I hate this dude. And every time I interviewed him, he was thoughtful and funny and kind of a little bit soft-spoken and charming. And I couldn't reconcile the two. And it really bothered me that this guy who seemed to be so respectful and thoughtful off the ice, when he would get in the game, couldn't control himself. And interestingly, after his career now, he's spent so much time focusing on CTE, and several of his old teammates and friends have unfortunately lost their lives to suicide because of opioid stuff and brain related issues from concussions. And he's really digging into like why he wasn't the person he always wanted to be and the ways he was sort of tortured. And so sometimes it's kind of fascinating to look at those dudes that on the court just can't seem to stop themselves. And then they get off it and they truly seem like they're genuinely sorry that they could, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, and trying to dig into why that happens. Because I think, I mean, we've all lost it a time or two in the middle of the game. Or maybe just me. I used to get like a yellow card every single game my senior year in field hockey. But
I was just telling people that I was an in soccer. Like I when I was playing soccer growing up, I tried to kind of fight people, not like physically, but like thought I was invincible because no one was gonna actually punch me on the field. You know what I mean? Sure. It's the same way everyone flexes on a basketball court because they know no one's actually gonna swing.
Exactly. You just throw some extra bows.
Yeah.
And, you know, a couple hip checks here and there, nothing serious.
We'll get in each other's faces. Yeah. We'll look really tough.
Yeah.
And then afterwards be like, bro, that was really cool. I definitely see what you're saying. And we also forget that a lot of these people are 19, 20 years old when they come in, and they've been lived a certain way their whole life, treated a certain way their whole life, came from different circumstances. So it's like maturity is something that probably happens for a lot of people, including just regular humans. So not to excuse anything like actually criminal that happened.
Right.
But speaking of criminal off the court, Steve Kerr.
Oh God, just, the worst guy.
Just
how do you guys deal with him on a daily basis?
It's just hard.
Verbal diarrhea.
Yeah.
So unlikable.
No, the things he says and the way he treats people. Nope.
Just pause for a second and like think things through. Like, just be more thoughtful before you speak.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. This guy. Well, we have to deal with him, but you got so to watch sad. Him. With the Bulls.
I love Steve Kerr.
Did you expect Steve Kerr to be this prominent in sports when you watched him with the Bulls?
You know, you could tell from his interviews that he was smart and that he had a great sense of humor, but there is this funny thing about sports where the littlest guy becomes so infantilized, and especially when you've got like a little cute blonde face like Steve Kerr. But you forget that like in real life, 6'2" or whatever he is, 6'3" is really not that small.
Yeah, he's certainly bigger than me. Yeah,
it's certainly
I'm 6
tall.
Feet tall and I stand next to him like, wow, maybe.
Like, oh, so on a court, I would look just incredibly pathetic. Same with Steph Curry, pathetic. By the
way. People right? Well, he's not a real 6'3". Yes, he is.
Yeah, he is. Yeah, he really is.
Yeah.
Still has to use ID to buy cigarettes, but he's tall. Yeah. I mean, I do think that there's that like, the baby face and that sort of diminutive presence on the court. And then you look though, and most of the great coaches are often the point guards, like the small guy, the court general, the one who needs to be running a team from the court itself, then it translates to coaching. So we knew he was smart and funny. I mean, I have like VHS tapes where they would run like a full 48-hour Bulls marathon on the local station when I was growing up. And I would have tapes ready. And when they ran out, I'd be like running to put the new blank in so I could have like the full every hour. And it would include clips of them going on like Jay Leno or, you know, whatever show. And I remember the one that they showed in The Last Dance where Steve's on and he's talking about how, you know, Jordan's like, all right, if they double me, I'm going to you. And he's like, yeah, I got this. And he's like, just kidding. I was like, okay. And so, yeah, he's always been awesome. And I think at the Bulls rally when he gave the speech joking about how like Michael made him put the team on his shoulders again, and he was used to bailing him out. But no, I don't think anyone necessarily could have seen this. And he's going to be in one of those tough positions where, because of the success Luke had when he was out, people are going to say it's about the talent that he had. Like, he's basically following in Phil's footsteps.
Exactly. Right? Like, you can see the side by side.
Right. But at the same time, you know, the coach before him, who I will not name and disparage in any way, didn't get as much out of this team as he did. So sometimes it's not just the talent. We've seen plenty of really talented teams not put it together. So
no, Sarah, it's because KD came.
It was the cupcake thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then LeBron's teams were always hurt.
Yeah.
And then
I can name a few other things too.
I think probably the referees were in on it because the NBA is rigged. And then also the lottery ball was frozen.
I remember that one.
For them to draft Steph, which was weird because he wasn't a lottery pick. I don't
all
think.
Those other teams.
And yeah. then yeah. yeah.
Well, no, we could go forever about why he's not a good coach. But I think also if you look at his life history, the tragedy he's gone through, the achievements he's come in sports, his worldview. I mean, when you look at him as a person, as a coach, a leader of, you know, young men out there, the things he says, right, to the media and everything he says in private to his players as well. I mean, what's your lens of, like, when you think of Steve Kerr, do you immediately think of guy whose strategy is good on a basketball court, or do you think it bigger than that?
I think bigger than that, but I'm also someone who's really into social issues. So like, that's always going to play a big role in how I view somebody. I can respect a great player or a great coach, but I think as much as I love Pop, and I think Pop is incredibly thoughtful and a great leader and very outspoken and very brave in the way he speaks about social issues around his players and his sport and the world, Pop still has that, I don't feel like giving you an interview, so I'm going to Bill Belichick my way through this, which he's allowed to. But Steve has all the great stuff from Pop and then also is incredibly endearing and likable and respectful to the media and understands that everybody has a job. Like, I think he's the gold standard of everything to me. Like, if you could put together a guy who wins games and championships, gives great quotes, thinks outside and beyond the size of the court or even the sport that he coaches in, and is hilarious and funny and all those things. Like, yeah, first of all, I'm super jealous that he's not coaching in Chicago. At least we have a coach right now that appears to be getting the Bulls on the right track. They're like above 500 for the first time in like 18,000 years.
They're figuring it out there. They're figuring it out.
Yeah. Although they might be below 500 again. They might be at 500 now. Anyway, the point is they keep going up and down and they're hovering around that, which should not be something that I feel good about. But if you've watched the Bulls lately, being anywhere near 500 is a positive.
Warriors
but
fans know about 500 being like a very exciting thing.
Exactly. So I'm very jealous that Steve is not in Chicago right now. But no, I mean, I can't say enough things about him. And even the stuff in The Last Dance that I didn't know. I knew about his dad, but the extent of it and the specifics, it's super eye-opening. And, like, it's not that surprising, I guess. Most of the time, people who are exposed to other cultures who are, required to be more mature and thoughtful than others and who have to experience and understand empathy and sympathy and everything else, like, they just turn out to be more interesting people, in my opinion. So I guess it's not that surprising that he turned out to be so rad.
Right. Completely.
And then his proximity to Michael Jordan.
You know what? It just kind of just bled off of Michael Jordan.
That's probably what it mostly is. Yeah. It's just the goat glow. Yeah.
The goat glow.
You ever meditate? They tell you to have like a big white bubble and then it starts, you know, here and then your third eye. And then you're supposed to surround yourself so that when you walk out into the world, that bubble is sort of, that's Michael. And then if you touch him by mistake, it's just for the rest of your life, you're amazing.
You are now incredible.
Yeah. I've met him a couple of times, if that tells you anything about me. And
you must have not touched him because you're on this pod again. So,
that's so true. What am I doing with my life?
Yeah, I know. But also, goat glow. Do you mind if I use that as a product?
Because sounds like it could be gross, but also if you market it right, it sounds like it would be just a good post-workout massage balm, like a tiger balm kind of thing, but the goat glow.
Goat glow? Yeah. It also
like icy hot, but for better athletes.
Right. Or just something incredibly inappropriate.
Exactly. I moved past that quickly because I forgot that this is supposed to be a professional endeavor.
This is a family show.
I'm so sorry.
Everyone watching right now or listening. Yeah, or whatever.
My apologies.
Yeah, it's okay. We'll forgive you on this one. But yeah, Steve Kerr right now, it's actually, this may surprise you. I don't know if you follow this, but a lot of Warriors fans are not a fan of his strategy, in-game strategy, and the way he's doing things, the way he's used Steph in his career and everything like that. So it's like a hot topic right now in the Bay Area. And, you know, it is nice to just kind of take a step back and look at the bigger picture sometime. And sometimes it takes somebody from a national perspective to be like, yeah, let's take a step back. And view it from
I mean, I don't blame you guys. It's really difficult to have tremendous success and then accept anything but that. And so you're going to lash out at the people that you blame for it. But he's in a tough position. Last year was incredibly tough. And then this year to come in and have a bit more of expectations, like you said, because of the draft pick and the return of, you know, your healthy superstars. I don't envy him having to figure out, you know, how to move those pieces around. I also think with such a short turnaround in the off season and with the unexpected loss of Clay, where you've been planning for a completely different look to your team, why not allow him the benefit of the doubt of moving around those pieces and trying different things until you happen upon what's best? It's easy in hindsight to look at a game plan and say that didn't work, but what you might've learned from that might influence and inform what you do in the future. And now is the time to do that because you didn't have a lot of time in the off season, didn't have, you know, preseason like you normally would to figure all that stuff out.
Yeah, no, and he warned people that there might be adjustments. And again, I've stressed this enough is that, you know, I've defended Steve Kerr about certain things before, but he's not infallible, right? Every coach makes mistakes. He's not a fireable offense right now. Patience, by the way, you know how I talked about hypocrisy? This is going to blow your mind. It's like it's this weird I'll fill you in on all this stuff, not for the pod.
Well, you know, I like remember I said I would never get Skip Bayless money because I don't like hypotheticals. My other problem is that I assume that professional championship coaches know more than me, which is a real flaw in my business model, because I need to be willing to say that Steve Kerr is a moron who doesn't know what he's doing and probably should be fired immediately and is on a real hot seat. But I'm not going to.
That follows me on Twitter. Is that because I like, no, there's like two.
I have like so many burners. There's most of them are just like KD35, KD36.
Yeah. KD yeah. Go KD.
Just to throw people off the scent. Yeah.
Steph under, you know, overrated. But
some of them are just Matt Patricia, 43.
Patricia. Yeah.
It turned out it wasn't Matt Patricia. Yeah. It was a surprise. I thought for sure it was actually Matt Patricia, but somebody came forward and admitted it was them.
Yeah. That person has a.
He probably has other burners that we don't know about.
Honestly, bank accounts are raising money right now for taking the fall. Yeah. So far you've been an incredible politician coming on a Warrior show, speaking very nicely for Draymond Green, diminishing James Harden. That was impressive.
Thank you. That came from the heart.
Followers, off this at Sarah.
Oh, the Menchies from Houston are always great.
Oh,
although they've been starting to turn on him too. Even the sycophants in Houston are starting to come to my side.
It's like a weird. Actually, I want to relate everything to politics right now, but I'm not going to.
Yeah, don't do it. Yeah, we don't need that. This is a safe space.
On Twitter, it just happens, and
I'm in my padded wall room, so I'm ready for it if you need to get it out. But let's avoid. Yeah,
I'm gonna just say that. I also want to keep my job, but okay. So before I get to, we'll do a little rapid fire because I did dig up some of your old tweets.
Ooh, this should be fun.
Stuff you've said about the Warriors. Good news. You actually haven't really said anything too inflammatory about the Warriors, actually. Yeah. So
I like the Warriors.
Oh, but, wow. You're good. one last thing. Ryan Russillo on his podcast, he was saying how working at ESPN, I was always amazed at how many other athletes were anti-Steph. He was talking about that. Mm. Former athletes now. He says, always felt Steph as one of the most disrespected stars, at least in this era of the sports. He said, it's weird. I want to just get your take on that. And if you do agree with that, because there are former players that kind of step up and be like, hey, he's not a point guard. He needed KD, whatever, all that stuff.
Right.
Why do you think that is? If you do agree with that, like, why do you think people do that?
Well, I believe that Ryan would know that because of he focuses on NBA and his being out in Connecticut and having that proximity to those former players that come in and out of that space. That makes sense. So I'm going to assume that what he's saying comes from, you know, true interactions. So my only opinion would come from a hypothesis, which is not based on my own interactions with former players talk about stuff. I haven't been chatting with a lot of former players about their opinion on stuff.
But you need to do that more often, by the way.
I know.
It's a real hoot.
Never going to make the big bucks. for one, I think it is people are incredibly defensive of their own generation, whether that's the style of play, the superstars they played against, whether or not someone could have hacked it in their day. And so I think the change that we saw in the landscape of the NBA that was fueled in part by the Warriors and Steph to some players is a game that they don't recognize and don't respect the same way. And there's an argument, if you want to make it, for, you know, figuring out a better balance and not having it be so dependent on the three-pointer, but not an argument made by the Warriors, who are super hella fun to watch, right? So like, you got to find another team if you're going to make that excuse, because that was not a boring, it's the teams that weren't as effective as the Warriors still using that strategy. And the other one, I think it's in some ways it's this guy does things differently than me and my compatriots did. And so I don't like that. Mm-hmm. And the other, I think, and again, this is a total guess, but it reminds me of the hate that JJ Watt gets from some people. And I think that is people are not used to someone being genuine and good and a role model and likable and hardworking and kind and funny. And I really do think that there's a cynicism, and I don't blame people for it, but I need more proof that JJ Watt is faking being a good dude. And I need more proof that Steph is actually trash and he's just trying to sell an image. To me, I get that though, because like that's an image that's very like familiar for me and endearing. Whereas some other people might say he's soft, or there's certainly the conversations that have been had about skin tone in the African American community, and whether like, you know, there were flat out comments made, you know, light skinned brothers driving versus dark skin. Like, you know, there's definitely some tension there. And so I don't have that. Right. There's no part of me that like is invested in that argument. But I think all those things kind of wrap up into people thinking he's too good to be true. So it's got to be fake. And I give him the benefit of the doubt that he's a a good, hardworking, likable, sellable family dude who's awesome at basketball. And I root for that the same way that I root for JJ Watt instead of on him for being, I swore, instead of crapping on him for being a family show, for being a good dude. Now, if you find out later that they're totally full of it, then fine, have at it. But I don't think I'm quite that broken yet that I'm going to assume that everybody is full of bleep.
Oh, nobody can just be a good guy. I'm telling you too much on this pod, but no, I'm just, no, I do completely agree. And that's actually one of my arguments about him as well, is this idea that humility's and that it's either fake or he's soft or he can't handle the limelight because he's not this rah-rah aggressive, look at what I'm doing type guy. He doesn't score 62 points and come out and be like, well, you know, who's talking now? You know, it's more like I go home to my kids and I have a really nice life. And I'm just such a huge deal and I'm like really, really close with Steph. So no.
Totes BFF. Yeah,
no, but like I say this to people and that just in my interactions with him and Steph is that he's, all the good things you hear about him, like whatever you hear, it's actually like creepily better behind the scenes than and it just kind of, it makes me uncomfortable a little bit. It's like something has to be, you know, there has to be something, but unfortunately I haven't found it yet. But when I do, big bucks, you know how you talk about big bucks.
You know what, interestingly too, you just made me think of this too. I think in some ways there's this, when people find someone to be infallible, they want to find something wrong with them because it makes them feel worse about themselves and their own flaws. I really truly find that there are more people willing to defend somebody who, you know, goes to a strip club during a pandemic, skipping out on practices. I'm no one in particular, versus like defending someone who's a good person.
Right.
And I really, I've found that a lot because of the amount of stuff that I do in sports around like domestic violence, sexual assault, other things. Like as soon as you try to take someone to task and hold them accountable for something truly criminal and awful, people will come out of the woodwork with the, lest he who has not sinned cast the first stone, or like, I guess you've never done anything. I'm like, no, I've never committed a federal crime.
Well, but I remember that blah, 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 blah.
Right. But you want to say, you want to, like, your response to that is you can't just be an evil person who's pro domestic violence, sexual assault. So the answer must be that you don't want to believe that the world is, you know, full of people who are good people, because that shines a light on your own flaws. And so instead you'd rather defend people who are criminally flawed than be in support of someone like Steph, who seems to just genuinely have it figured out and be great, which is like wild to me still. When this happens on social media, it's still wild to me, the number of people who will yell expletives at me for correctly saying this person should be held accountable for this crime. You know what? F you. You've never done anything. I'm like, this is such a strange response.
It is like the defense of people too, of just no matter what, is if they're somebody you have on your fantasy team and they're doing really well. It's like, I'll be honest, I don't root for Tyreek Hill. I think he's a very skilled player on the field. That doesn't mean I have to root for him or whatever, but he looks very skilled and he does a lot of good things on the football field. So it's just, it's balancing that. But if you mention the fact that someone has a bad history in that, and therefore I don't worship that person, you're gonna hear it. So anyway, it's a little odd when it comes to Steph, because he is one of those people that you're just like, there's something I knew, like, I'm gonna find.
Well, and also it's probably in one way, he's like super likable because you could see yourself doing what he does, because he's not the LeBron James, who's like physically something you could never be, but that he's either likable because of that, and then to some people he's less than because he's doing something that you think you could do if you just went out there and practiced hard enough.
I've been alone in the gym and I've made at least 9 shots in a row. And when layups, he did 105 the other day or whatever it was, I was like, kind of the same.
You're like, if I had time, I would have kept going after 9.
Oh yeah, I was tired. My arms
had things to do.
I have work. But yeah, no.
Some of us have real jobs, Steph.
Enjoy your basketball.
Some of us just don't play a game.
Enjoy your basketball, Steph. No, I do agree. And Steve Kerr even mentioned if he had the body of LeBron or the size of your Giannis or KD, he just looks like what your quintessential, this guy's the most dominant player in the NBA. A 6'3", not skinny, but a guy who's fit, but not like just jacked. It just doesn't have that same dominating sense. All right, let's get to your tweet so I actually can let you go, because apparently you're busy and I don't know. All right, let's go in order of dates here. Just oh boy. Instant reaction.
Okay.
This one is a Nostradamus type thing, by the way. And you can retweet it later on and say, wow, told you.
Okay, great.
May 6, 2013. Right. This is the beginning of the rise of the Warriors. Steph Curry is in caps, boss, but you've got to pass that ball. A fall away one-hander with two guys on you. That's not the shot. And you ready for this? Find your Steve Kerr.
Oh, wow.
Now at the time you were obviously
meant a teammate, but yeah, I meant your Steve Kerr to help strategize, to help you figure out where the best pass would be.
If you really think about it, his game changed and got different passing the ball around when Steve Kerr took over. So frame that one.
100%.
June 4th, 2015. Jealous of those Warriors fans. They're hyped. Awesome building. So this is in the finals, their first. You went to Oracle for that?
No. I was watching from afar and I was just like, this is insane. I was young enough, which was great during the Bulls run, to like not have anything else to do except for watch every single game, but also young enough to not have any money. So I didn't like go to the games. I went to two Bulls games growing up. And so it just was reminding me of how insane like Chicago Stadium and the United Center used to be when it was like peak greatness of those guys.
Yeah, Oracle was, and it's really disappointing that some of these like 62-point game happened without fans at Chase, because that could have been one of the, your first Chase.
Well, I took a tour of Chase when I went and did a panel there for Women's History Month this year before everything shut down, and it is insane. The like wine room and those suites that you can just get basically and live in, they're like, they're your suite year round, even if there's not a game.
Yeah, so it's just I also wanted to pay a couple $1 million to have that.
Yeah, exactly. Or not pay because it's not open and you're just like siphoning money.
Yeah, it was just a tough decision for me.
Yeah.
Okay. June 7th, 2015. This is my favorite. I believe this that you wrote out. Ooh wee. I believe that's what it was. Clay hasn't gotten me this excited since Ghost. # sorry, not sorry.
What a cheese ball.
That was in the finals in 2015. Clay hasn't gotten me this excited since Ghost. #
I feel good about that one. I'm not even going to apologize for that. That's a good joke.
It was fantastic.
And Ghost is still a banger.
So it was Clay.
I haven't seen it recently.
December 2nd, 2015. Man, Stephen Curry is downright sheepish in post-game interviews. Guy is doing unthinkable things out there on the court and staying humble.
See, I like the Warriors a lot.
You do. I like Steph.
I've gotten backlash for how much I like Steph and say nice things about him.
Okay, then this is the last one. This actually happened. If you don't remember this one, this is going to be tough. This was like 2 days ago or whatever, a week ago. Damn, it's fun when Steph goes off. And that was when he had 62 the other night. Is there a player in the league more entertaining than Steph when he starts going off?
Ooh. Sometimes KD, but KD is so smooth that's a part of the appeal, but also makes it look effortless in a way that even though Steph makes it look effortless, he's doing it usually from like half court, right? And he has to manipulate his body in a way to shoot over taller players and stuff. Whereas KD is smooth and he's already taller than the other players. So he's just shooting over them naturally. No, I don't think there is. And like, you know, not to name any names, but there's plenty of people that can go off, but it's aesthetically unpleasing. Mm-hmm. Even if they have brilliantly, I think, looked at a rule and said, you get two steps. No one said they had to be forward. Right. Like, which is honestly, I used to think of that as a bad thing. And then I thought, actually, it's kind of brilliant. Like you've masterminded your way into a different way of playing. It just isn't that fun to watch.
Do you want to say his name again? You're allowed to.
No, I'm just going to keep being super passive aggressive about it.
Is this something? Is everything okay?
Yeah, because this way, like, they won't be able to clip it off. They'll have to be like, she was talking about him. And I'm like, no, I wasn't. I was talking about someone else. I'm definitely not obsessed with throwing shade at him.
no, I do agree. There's also, in today's game, seeing a smaller player go off from distance is different than a big man with, you know, a jump hook. If Kareem's
going right now, LeBron's up there because of the physical things he can do that you're just like, how did he do that? Right. But again, it's overpowering. And so sometimes it's actually more interesting to watch like the little guy just scurry around, the player that I used to hate the most as an athlete, because I was the big that was like, stop it. Stop dribbling around me.
Don't do that. Yeah. Yeah.
But watching it's fun.
Yeah. No, it's also disappointing to me because I'm the size of someone in the NBA that would be like a smaller point guard. And I'm like, I move like a big. But
that's why I'm not in the WNBA, because I would need to be a point guard. That's and I got reason. No handles.
Got it.
Yeah. Okay, so that is also my age. I'm getting, but you know what? Sue Bird's still out there absolutely crushing it. So I have got no excuses other than just lack of talent.
I mean, okay. So when this pod is aggregated at the end of this, I just want you to know that's going to be the main title. Is that I don't know.
I've got no excuse other than a pure lack of talent.
Okay. I promise you I'm going to let you go. And I really appreciate your time. Just the final question. You can make it one word if you want to.
Okay.
A couple weeks into the season now. What is your outlook on these Warriors this season?
I would say it's less optimistic than pre-Clay injury and even less optimistic than post-Clay. I did a lot of shows when people asked my expectations and I thought it would be still Midwest. And I think they're going to be working a lot harder for a playoff spot than I thought they would, unfortunately.
Do you think they make the playoffs?
Yes.
Pretty good.
Almost everyone makes the playoffs in the NBA, though.
I mean, I don't. If you don't make the playoffs, you're enjoy James Wiseman. Exactly. All right, Sarah, thank you very much for joining. I appreciate it. You'll just come on every week. Is that how this works?
Sure. Now? Yeah. Next time, I'll be sure to remember that it's on camera.
It does.
I'll pick a background with plants, and I'll do my hair, my face.
Number one, you can see I dressed up, and number two, these are fake.
You don't have to tell people that.
They now know.
They do know. This audio foam is real.
You grew it yourself?
Real. This is legit.
It right does here. Look soft. It
this looks is the nice. Good stuff. Yeah. Straight purple. Off of Amazon.
Oh, wow. Amazon's not a sponsor on this. It's Wendy's. So.
I know. I actually feel guilty about supporting them during the pandemic when they're like the only people succeeding. But
it's all right. We'll bleep that out.
Just fill in mom and pop audio foam shop.
Local place. Yeah. Go to this car insurance. Thank you again. Sarah Spain, ESPN, ESPN Radio. That's what she said pod. Everything ever. Thank you again. And if for this pod, if you haven't subscribed, rated, commented, say horrible things about me yet, which most of you have, please do. And everyone have a very nice day.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig, inspiring kid confidence.